Jesus. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. Use this vessel, Lord, as you choose. And let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church, and hearts to obey. Let flesh be silent. Silence and stop all distractions, that we might hear and receive and grow. And help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only. Bless us now. If you don't bless us, we will not be blessed. If you don't help us, we will not be helped. So help us, O God. Take full control in this moment. We ask and receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a thought that hit my mind early this week, and I wasn't too sure how it was going to develop, but God knows, and it's interesting, and sometimes God does little things that means big things to us. I didn't know that the choir was going to sing the song that they just got finished singing. I didn't know that. But the message that God gave me for us today is real victory over things. Real victory over things. See, God knew what the song was going to be. I ain't know, because I wasn't at choir rehearsal. But God was at choir rehearsal. Amen. Real victory over things. How many are dealing with things? Things. Dealing with things. And some of us are dealing with multiple things. God wants us to know that we have real victory over things. In one mind, I was going to call this, it's just a thing. But it's our perspective on how we look at things and how we deal with things and how much strength we put into things that makes a lot of difference on how we migrate through our life. Walk with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, please. Romans, the 8th chapter. Some Bible scholars and theologians have coined a phrase for Romans. They describe it as the 5th gospel, because there are some good, sound proclamations and declarations in God's word that he inspired through the Holy Ghost, our brother the Apostle Paul, to write to the saints at Rome. But we will be doing some moving around in this chapter. But we will begin at verse number 1. It's a good place to start. Verse number 1 in the Amplified Version of Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Very important statement. There's no condemnation. There's no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus and who walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So there's a way for us to maintain, obtain, a consistent level of victory over things if we walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. If we obey the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, which is God, one and the same, and not our own human reasoning without the influence of the Spirit of God. So if we live after the flesh, or if we are carnal, if we mind the flesh, if we just depend on our own human reasoning and how we feel, then there's some condemnation there. Because the Bible lets us know that there's no good thing that dwells in the flesh. So if we walk after the instructions or under the control of the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, then we're not condemned. And as long as we walk that way, we have a right to expect victory in our lives. We have a right to expect victory over the things that present themselves to us and the things that we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Dropping down to verse number 5 of the same chapter, it says, "For those who are according to the flesh are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things those things which gratify the flesh." So what you're pursuing, what you're desiring can tell you whose control that you're under. If you are desiring the things of the flesh, if you spend your time pursuing the things that will gratify your humanness, you are being controlled by the flesh and its unholy desires. Scripture goes on to say, "But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit." That means those who are led by the Spirit of God, we want to seek what God loves. We want to do the things that will give honor and glory to God. John said that God is spirit. Jesus speaking in John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is looking for people who will worship him the way that he wants to be worshiped. And if we worship God, if we live a type of lifestyle that is a worship to God, we're guaranteed victory over things. We're not saying that things won't present themselves to us. We're not saying that we won't be faced with challenges. But what we're saying is that we have victory, real victory over things. It is important for us to understand that it is important. It's important for us to even grasp this concept and these principles that are given to us in the Word of God. We got to grab them by faith. Because if we don't grab them by faith, we will be put off by the things that we see. Scripture says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." All right, so we have to understand that we have to grab hold to the Word of God and believe it by faith, stand on it by faith, stand on what God has declared for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. That's one of the great benefits of being in Christ Jesus. Drop down to verse number 8. "So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him." So if you're living the lifestyle of the flesh, you're not pleasing God. Now, I have to remind us that he wrote this letter to a church. He wrote this letter to the saints at Rome. So evidently there was a problem with some of the saints at Rome who might have been living a fleshly type of a lifestyle. They were catering to the impulses of their human nature. And Paul just spoke up boldly to remind them, if you live in like this, you cannot please or satisfy God. And God is not accepting you living that kind of way, especially since you're in Christ. And on the reverse, Christ is in you. So the scripture goes on to say in verse number 9, but you are not living. Paul makes a bold statement. He has confidence. He says, but you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God. So we got to deal with that. We got to deal with that. You're not living the life of the flesh. You're not living the life of the flesh. You're living the life of the Spirit if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells in you and directs and controls you. So that means we who are filled with the Spirit of God, we should be controlled on a continuum by the Spirit of God. We should be directed. We should be guided. We should be led by the Spirit of God. Our actions and the way we handle everyday situations should show to us and show to others and show again to God that we are truly his children, because we're not operating in the mind of the flesh. Amen. Scripture says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. We need the mind of Christ. And not only do we need the mind of Christ, because we have received the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, we have the mind of Christ. So then that means that since we have the mind of Christ, I need to yield myself to the very Spirit of God that's in me. We need to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. And since when we yield ourselves to the presence and the Spirit of God that dwells in us, then we can truly shoot back at that verse number 1 and say, there's no condemnation. Why? Because I'm yielding to the Spirit of God. So since we're yielding to the Spirit of God, then I don't feel the condemnation that an unyielded individual will feel. Since I'm yielding to the Spirit of God and the power of God, then I can boldly come to the throne of grace. I don't have guilt clouds hanging over my life or floating through my mind, because I've surrendered my entire self to God. I'm a yielded vessel to God. Now I have to know and understand this, because my things that I'm facing will want to say something to the contrary. The situations that I'm facing will challenge me in my mind or attempt to challenge my mind as to whether I am in right standing with God or not. But let me tell you, your things don't determine whether you are in right standing with God or not. Your spirit and God's word determines whether you're in right standing with God or not. There needs to be an altar that we set up in our hearts. It doesn't necessarily have to be a physical place like this, but we need to set up an altar in our hearts where we can commune with God at any time. And when we are communing with God at any time, then God can let us know, no, you stepped out of line there. All right, I stepped out of line. God, forgive me. Then that genuine repentance comes, and I'm right back online with God, because I'm in the midst of facing some things, and my things will try to deter my mind. My things will try to bring doubt in my mind of whether I'm doing all that I can for God. And the things will try to come and say, see this and see that. That's all right, but we're going to deal with these things in just a little bit. Just hang with me, because God wants us to know today that we have real victory over things. Verse number 10 says, but if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad for the imputed righteousness. Righteousness that we could never earn in 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 years. We could never earn an ounce of the righteousness of God. I'm so glad that God, that the righteousness of God is Christ Jesus. And since we're in him and he's in us, God has imputed unto us his righteousness. The scripture goes on to say, now here's something that will bolster our faith, at least it should, verse number 11. If the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus
from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I'm so glad about the Holy Ghost. I'm so glad that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You ought to praise God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's our ticket out of here. That will transport us from this side of eternity to the other side of eternity. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Glory. Hallelujah. So now this gives me, or it should give us, some confidence that listen, if everything goes down, I'm still getting up. Glory. Hallelujah. If the situation don't change, if things in my life that I'm facing, well, I don't want to be stingy, if things in our life that we're facing seems to, on the outside or on a human side, seems like the things have won. But one thing the things can't do, the things can't take the Spirit of God from me. So it may look like the things have won, or it may look like things have the advantage. But one thing we know, and we can be confident of, that if we go to the grave with the Spirit of God, we gonna get up. Oh, yes, we are. We're going to get up. And if we're alive and remain, when Jesus cracks the sky, that same Spirit is going to get us up out of here in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. And this mortal body shall put on immortality. And things can't change that. Glory. Hallelujah. Things that we're facing can't diminish that fact that is in God's word for us who are his children. And we go to verse number 17 now, and verse number 17 says something here. If we are his children, aren't you glad you're a child of God? Yes, and you've been given the Spirit of adoption. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you the Spirit of adoption. He wrote your name. Glory, hallelujah. He filled out the adoption papers, wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, said, that's my son and that's my daughter. Give me that one. Give me this one. I want her and I want him. The one that they disregarded, God said, that's the very one that I want. The one that ain't nobody helping, that's the very one that I want. The one that they figure ain't never going to be nothing, God said, I want to adopt that one. I'm so glad that God adopted me. I'm so glad I was on my way to a devil's hell, doing everything that I thought I was big and bad enough to do. But one day, God sent somebody to tell me about Jesus Christ. And when they told me about Jesus, I didn't understand everything, but I knew I was living a raggedy life. Glory, hallelujah. I knew I was living a dead life. And the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ was illuminated to me. Didn't have a Bible at that time, but I came to the church. Glory, hallelujah. I believe what they told me, and I repented of my sins. Listen, I ain't got that testimony by myself. That's what we all did. Whatever state we were in, we heard the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and we repented of our sins, and God gave us the faith. We got baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. And what did God turn around and do? He filled us, glory, hallelujah, with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Some of us got filled before we got in the water. Some of us got filled after we came out the water, but we all who are children of God, all of us got filled. Because if you ain't filled, then you ain't one of his kids. That's what the Bible said. But I'm so glad that I got my date sketched in my mind. It's imprinted in my mind, and it's recorded in heaven. Wednesday, June 19th, 1985. Glory, hallelujah. So when we received this salvation, we became heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Glory, hallelujah. That means everything that Jesus get, we get. Woo! And he did the heavy lifting. He paid the price. He went to the cross for all of us. And we, because we accept this so great a salvation, we are now recipients. We are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. That's enough to go through anything. The fact that we're heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ, the fact that we know and we believe that everything that Jesus inherits, we receive too. So let the things come. It ain't nothing but a light affliction, a momentary setback on my journey from here to eternity. Let the things come, because the things cannot erase my citizenship. Your citizenship, if you're born again, you are a citizen of heaven. Glory, hallelujah. And can't no government take that away from you. Yes, I'm a stranger. I'm an alien here. I was born naturally here, but I was born spiritually up there. So we who have been born again, we got a DACA program that they don't even know about. It's documented in heaven that when the Lord comes, he's going to get his kids up out of here. Black kids, white kids, yellow kids, all kind of kids. God's going to get us up out of here. And what we've got in common is this like precious faith. So we are joint heirs. We are heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. We inherit everything that Jesus inherits. If we are his children, then the Bible says we are his heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, sharing in his inheritance with him. Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. So that's why things got to come sometime. That's okay, but I'm not going to let things blow me out of the box. I understand that if I want to reign with him, we need to understand that if we want to reign with Christ, we will suffer with Christ. It's appointed unto us a certain portion of suffering, but I'm so thankful to God that even while we're suffering, we're not suffering alone. I heard God say in his word, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. God said that with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that we are able to bear it. Put your hand on yourself and tell yourself, I'm able to go through whatever God allows me to go through. It ain't nothing but a thing. It ain't nothing but a thing that I'm facing. It ain't nothing but a thing. And a thing can't stop my joy. A thing can't stop my praise. A thing can't stop my worship. Aren't you going through some stuff? Yeah, everybody's going through some stuff. But it ain't nothing but a thing, baby. That's all it is. It ain't nothing but a thing. After a while, all these things are going to be done away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word is going to abide forever. So I'd rather be in the word of God so I can deal with these things. He said in verse 18, but what of that? For I consider, oh glory, Paul is testifying and preaching and teaching at the same time, making my soul happy. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worthy to being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Glory, hallelujah. So I'll go through my suffering. I'll go through the things that's facing me. I'll go through the situations and the circumstances, because when you add all the things that you're facing, when you add all the things that I'm facing, when you add collectively the things that we're all facing, they're not worthy. They're not worthy to be compared to the glory Ooh, glory to the glory that shall be revealed. God's going to show us something after a while. God's going to show you that it was worth it all. When God reveals his glory to us, when God reveals his glory on us, when God reveals his glory for us, we're going to look at that suffering and bust out laughing. Woo, glory. Was that all that the thing could do? Listen, a thing can't do no more than God allows it to do. We got to have faith in God. In one place, I think it was Acts, he said, the writer said, none of these things move me. Woo, glory. So let them come. Yeah, I'm not big and bad. What I'm boasting in, I'm boasting in the Lord. That's where my strength is. That's where the power is. That's where the victory is. So none of these things move me because of my position. I'm in Christ. We're in Christ, and Christ is in us. So we shall not be moved. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph. So we are victorious. So we have to see here. As Paul continues here in this chapter, see what other good things he has for us, just to remind us that we got real victory over things. Listen, I don't know what you came in here dealing with, but whatever you came in here dealing with, I came to tell you, you got victory over that thing. You got victory over that thing. You got victory over those things. Those things will not stop you. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. You got power that will obliterate things when God gets ready for that thing to dissolve. All you got to do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Lift up the gates and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory, he shall come in. And when the King of glory comes in, things got to get out the way. Woo, glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. God knows how to do battle to evaporate everything that we're facing. But what God wants, he wants an audience. You hear what I said? God wants somebody that when the things come on one side and the other side, God doesn't want us to run. We don't need to run from another thing in our life. But when the things come, we need to stand on the word of God and offer up God a praise in the midst of that thing. I dare you. I encourage you. I beseech you. When that thing mounts up against you the next time, break out in a praise song in the midst of that thing. Yes, I will. I will bless the Lord at all times. The thing is knocking on your back, and he's knocking at your front door, but I dare you to lift up a praise in the midst of that thing. And when the thing go gets his buddy, when the thing go gets his cousins and them, and they try to crowd around you, you need to get one of your friends that's going through something, because I hear what God said. Come on, Tim. I hear what God said. One can put 1,000 to flight, but when I hook up with two, we can take 10,000 things and kick them out of our very presence. That's what you gotta do. God don't want you to go through this thing alone. That's why he said we're joint heirs, because I'm your brother and you're my sister. So we gotta hook up and fight against these things. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Stand up. It's time for us to stand up against these things that been bluffing us and bogarting us and coming strong arming us. We listen, God gave us a great salvation. We got to stand on God's word. We got to link up. Listen, that's what they're doing in the carnal world. They're linking up. Come on. They're linking up on the football field. They're linking up. They got enough sense to link up against stuff that they don't like. get on our knees. When we going to link up in prayer, saint the saint, linking up in prayer. The Bible said the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence taketh by force. We need some spiritual Kaepernicks that will link up and pray and watch God do something. Thank you. We got victory. We got real victory. This ain't no canned victory. This ain't no bottled victory. This ain't no victory you put on the shelf and you ain't got to add nothing to it. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. That's the victory that we have. We got it over everything. Victory over our flesh. Real victory. I ain't even get to the main points yet. Glory, hallelujah. I thought I'd shout when I get to the next scripture. Glory. But see, that's one thing about victory. When you know who you are and you know what you have, you don't even have to wait for the main part. Maybe, just maybe. That's why whoever wrote that song said, don't wait till the battle is over. Shout now. Because we win anyway. Ooh, glory. But let me get some more scripture. Can I give some more scripture? All right, thank you. You all are so kind. I'm still in the 8th chapter. I didn't have to go no see God fix it. I had to go nowhere, but stay right here in this chapter. Verse 28 in the Amplified says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labors, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. So the things thought they were doing something. But the things don't know that they're working according to the plan of God. Remember I told you a while ago that sometimes God uses trouble as a tool? So the things think they got the upper hand, and the things don't even know. The things try to manipulate us, and God is manipulating the things to work about his design and plan for our life. God is great. He is great. Now, watch what he says in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. God loved us beforehand. That's why things can't got no real power over us. Because God loved us beforehand. He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And 30 says, and those whom he thus foreordained, he called. We were called before the foundation of the world. And those whom he called, he also justified. Woo, glory. Look at that. In the midst of my mistakes, God still justified me when he called me. Yes, he did. He did the same thing for you. He also justified, acquitted, made righteous. Woo, glory. God made righteous. He made us righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. God said, don't worry, I got your back. I got you. Yeah, I got you. Don't worry. No, you with me. Come on. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. See, it's a done deal as far as God is concerned. We're just going through the steps. But God said, you already been glorified. I ain't even got my glorified body yet, but we already, according to the word, we already been glorified. We're just waiting for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. God has raised us to a place of heavenly dignity. We might not get no dignity down here. We might not make the who's who down here or the VIP list down here, But in heaven, we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, already dignified, sanctified, purified, justified, and glorified. Is that enough fire for you? Amen. Glory. You want some fire with that? Yes. God has done some great things for us. What then? All right. Now, here's the question. This is the point I was trying to get to when I first started. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? So now we get, I know we got to get communion, but I just want to get this before we commune. Is that all right? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all other things? So he asks the question now, who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies? That is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward to accuse or impeach those whom God have chosen? I'm so glad we're chosen by God. Aren't you glad that you're chosen by God? Can't nobody accuse you if you're living like verse 1 said. That's why we started at verse 1. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Don't lose sight of that in all our rejoicing. All right? It plays a big part. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect when it is God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relation to himself? Who shall come forward to accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for us? Here's another question. And we need to bear this in mind in the face of our things. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Shall suffering, anybody suffering? And affliction, anybody going through affliction? Tribulation or calamity and distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? Anybody identify with some of those things? Ain't nothing but a thing. It's just a thing. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now look what he says, this bold declaration, and we need to incorporate this. Verse 37, yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. We need to declare that over ourselves right now. Repeat after me. Yet amid all these things, I am more than a conqueror and I gain surpassing victory through him who loved me. That's right. You got to declare, you need to underline that, highlight that, blow it up, put it on your refrigerator, your mirror, or something. So what, and see, he said all these things. Now he's going to name a few, but just in case he doesn't name yours, get that all these things. All right? He says 38, for I am persuaded beyond doubt. I ain't halfway got my mind on it, and as long as everything works out. He said, I'm persuaded beyond doubt in the face of things, in the face of things that I don't even know that I might have to face later on. I'm still persuaded beyond doubt. I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things impending and threatening nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What we gonna do with that? We got real victory over things. Amen? I think I'm gonna stop right there. We got real victory over things. So the next time those things try to act like they all that, speak to them things. Say, you ain't nothing but a thing. Ain't nothing but a thing. Back in the day, when we, some of us, because y'all wasn't, yeah, ain't nothing but a thing. That was our vernacular. Hey, ain't nothing but a thing. Hey, what it is, ain't nothing but a thing. So we need to have that mentality with what we're facing. You say, ain't nothing but a thing. Ain't nothing but a thing. Ain't nothing but a thing. I got victory over that. Don't sweat that. Ain't nothing but a thing. What shall we say to these things? God before us. Who can be against us? I'm persuaded. I ain't got no doubt. These things can't separate me from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is Christ. Ain't nothing but a thing. Then we had, some of us had the nerve to say, it's your thing. I done walked on somebody's street with that one. But whether it's your thing or my thing, it ain't nothing but a thing. And we got real victory over things. So we shouldn't let things change the way we operate. We shouldn't let things throw us back into a carnal mindset. We shouldn't let things stop us from being led, controlled, and directed by the Spirit of God, since we are the children of God, since we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen? So put your hand on yourself one more time and say, I have real victory over things. And do you believe that? We'll live like that from here on out. I have real victory over things. I'm not going to let things press me. I'm not going to let things oppress me or depress me or stress me. I got real victory over things. I can speak to that thing. I said, not today. Come on. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I ain't going for that today. Speak to that thing. All right. Okay. Oh, Lord, help us. He's trying. He's trying to help us. But some stuff we're going to have to do. He's put it within our power to do. I ain't doing that thing no more. Come on. That's it. You won't get me with that one, though. I got a real victory over that thing. Not another cigarette. Ain't nothing but a thing. A created thing. I got victory over that. Matter of fact, I'm going to my purse and I'm going to my pocket and get rid of them things right now. Now, this is this kind of church. If you got cigarettes in your pocket and you really want to get rid of them, put them on the altar. And nobody better not say nothing to you. Because that's just something, that's just a thing that they can see. But what about the things in some of our hearts that we can't see? Ain't nobody going to pull adultery up and bring adultery, boom, to the altar. But it's a thing. Nobody gonna pull fornication. Come on, fornication. No, I don't wanna go. Come on. Ain't nobody gonna take fornication and put it on the altar where everybody can see it. But it's a thing. Ain't nobody gonna take lying. Come on, lying. Let's go. Come on, come on. The lion said, no, man. You see, a lion will tell you a lie on the way up there. You ain't got to go. Huh? Ain't nobody gonna put lying on the altar, but it's a thing in somebody's heart in the building. But cigarettes, ooh, come on. God sees, He sees in the heart. He's trying to let you know you got victory over all these things. But who wants to walk in that kind of victory? Well, I'm going to be embarrassed. Embarrass me 24/7 down here. Because when I get to heaven, ain't the time to be embarrassed. What's your thing? If y'all allow me to revert back to that mindset for a minute. What's your thing? Are you ready to bring your thing to the altar? Okay. Let me look at the camera since y'all ain't moving. Everybody in here got a thing or two. So now the altar is open. Now don't bring your thing to the altar if you don't mean to have complete victory over it. But the altar is open for everybody and everything. Ain't nobody, now they moving. Everybody and everything. Now don't sit up here and look like you ain't got no thing that you dealing with. Now watch, I didn't say it was bad. I said it was a thing. If you've been struggling with something and struggling with something and struggling with something and struggling with something, bring that thing to the altar. I'm getting rid of this thing. I ain't taking this thing back with me. This thing is not riding in my car with me no more. This thing been trying to hijack my life. It's been trying to mess me up. Every time I think I'm trying to do something, here comes this thing again. Trying to mess with my mind, mess with my spirit, mess with my countenance. I'm getting rid of this thing. I'm getting rid of this thing.